Yesterday, we talked about the altar of Slobodka's explanation of Mashiach being able to smell the truth. It's a reflection of Godlus Ha'adam, of man's greatness. A person really is supposed to be able to have these abilities, and we don't because we've lowered ourselves, but we see them reflected in some people in history, and time Mashiach, when everything is fixed, then this ability will come back, and that's what it means, that Mashiach can smell the truth. Yesterday, we started out with Maral that said that the Gashmios is opposed to Yiras Hashem. You had a question about exactly what that meant. I realized afterwards that it really tied in with the rest of the Shir. The Sfarim say, Ramchal is a long essay by Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver in the introduction to his Haggadah, that Orla, Adam Rishon, didn't have an Orla. After he sinned, man has an Orla, and we have a mitzvah of Rismila. And in the future, Hashem will remove the Orla from our hearts. Orla is a covering. It's a covering, covers up our ability to be as spiritual, for lack of a better word, as we're supposed to be. That's what drags us down. Don referred to, Mr. Sharm talks about like a physical force like gravity that pulls you down. That's referred to in Sfarim as the Orla. And really, that's exactly the same thing that the altar of Slobodka is talking about, that prevents us from maximizing our abilities. What clouds our vision and our senses is what Sfarim refer to as Orla. So actually all ties in, and it comes out that Rav Alexandri and Rava are really just talking about different aspects of the same thing. The way Maral understands it, Rav Alexandri, who says that Mashiach will be weighted down with Yisurim because of his great Yiras Hashem, is talking about the negative side of it, that the resistance of the physical world, of Olam Hazeh, the Orla, to the revelation of Hashem. And Rava is talking about the positive side of it, that Mashiach will be able to be above all of that and to smell the truth. That's what it seems, putting together the sources that we discussed yesterday. So the Altar Slobodka said that the sin of the Meraglim was not recognizing the Godlus Ha'adam. That's what led to their feeling like grasshoppers and saying that the giants saw them like grasshoppers. And you mentioned that that's the sort of the motto of the Slobodka movement is Godlus Ha'adam. So by popular demand, I thought we'd see how the altar of Navarduk sees the sin of the Meraglim, which is really a reflection of one of the key points of Navarduk Musar. One of the key themes that the altar of Navarduk talks about again and again and again is a person's failure to recognize his own biases. We think we're making honest decisions about how to act and things that come in front of us. And in fact, we fail to recognize that we have biases. We're human beings. We have biases, and we're expected to overcome them. We're expected to ask, what does the Torah want me to be doing right now without any biases? The classic example that I give, this is not what the Altar Navarduk says, but this is something that I struggle with. Learning during Chazar Sashatz, Chazan's repeating Shemon Esrei, many people take out a sefer and learn.
When you're not supposed to do it.
It's easy to say, oh, it's Yitzhahara, it wants you to do it, you're not supposed to do it. But if you use the tools that Altar of Navarduk gives, so think about it logically. Why do I want to learn Torah in general? I want to know what God wants from me. Hasidim would say, I want to be closer to God by learning his Torah. Well, what does God want from me right now? Not what does God want from me. What does God want from me this second? If I open up a Mishnah Berurah, I'll see God does not want me to be learning Torah right now during Chazaras Hashatz. God wants me to be listening to the Chazan and saying Amen. And if my purpose of learning Torah is to know, to see what God wants and come closer to God, then how can I learn his Torah to see what he wants at a time when he doesn't want me to? It would be no different than learning Torah in the bathroom. God doesn't want me to learn Torah in the bathroom.
There very common. People learning during Chazaras HaShas.
Yes, it's very common. Just to be clear, there are poskim who say it's permitted to learn Torah during Chazaras HaShas. The Mishnah Berurah says the mainstream sock is that one should not. The Alter of the Maradik says, so many times a person thinks he's doing a mitzvah and he fails to see what his bias is. He didn't think about what his bias is. So why am I learning Torah Derech Hashatz? Again, this is not his example. This is my example. It must be because it's not that I want to do what God wants. It's just fun to learn Torah. Or the Yetzer Hara is distracting me from doing the job I'm supposed to do right now. If a person would constantly ask himself, what does the Torah want from me? And if he doesn't know, then go look it up or ask the rabbi. Then he would not make many of the mistakes that people make. But people have biases and fail to recognize that they have biases. So he says about the Meraglim. Zohar says that the Meraglim knew that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, when the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, there would be a new social order and they would lose their positions. Be a new leadership for a new era. And they would lose their positions. That's what the Zohar says. So if you just take that at face value, it's hard to understand. Rashi says that the spies were great men. Kulam anashim, Pasuk says. They were all anashim. The word anashim literally means men, but Rashi says it means great men. The Zohar seems to be saying that they were subject to a very crude or crass motivation. Well, I'm going to make up a false report about the land of Israel because I don't want to come into the land of Israel and lose my job. We like to attribute much higher motivations to our leaders, to our Torah-based leaders, at least. So the Alter of Vardik explains that that's not what happened. The Zohar is saying in the back of their minds, they knew that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they would lose their jobs. As a result, when they were faced with a challenge, they needed to work because they're only human. Even great Torah scholars are human and need to work on things. So when they came into Eretz Yisrael and they saw things that could be interpreted two different ways, they were called upon to really carefully see if they had any bias that was making them interpret it one way or the other way. The things they saw could have been interpreted. They saw people dying, so they could have interpreted it as, oh, this is a terrible land where people die all the time. Or they could have interpreted it, which would have been the correct interpretation, God gave us cover that the people of the land should be so busy burying their dead, they wouldn't notice 12 strangers walking around taking pictures. Their bias, that subconscious knowledge that when the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, they would lose their jobs, was enough to, because they failed to uncover that bias, it was enough to cause them to interpret things wrong. What a person's job is constantly to ask himself, what does the Torah want? And am I answering this question with a bias? Do I have a preconceived notion of what the answer should be? Lots of times when you have a question on Shabbos, so you run and take out whichever is your favorite halacha, Hilchos Shabbos book to see, can I do this or not? You have to recognize that you already have a bias because you want to do this thing, or maybe you don't want to do this thing. So you already have a bias and you're looking through your Hilchos Shabbos book with a bias. And if you do that, you're not going to arrive at the truth. And that's the Alter of Nevarach says. He gives another example. After Yaakov Avinu died, so Yosef, Medrash says that Yosef changed his behavior towards his brothers. Brothers interpreted it as, oh, he's still angry at us, and he's going to take revenge. And so they made up a story that Yaakov asked him to forgive them. In fact, Yaakov never asked such a thing. It's questionable whether Yaakov even knew what the brothers had done to Yosef. The Psukim at the end of Parshas Vayechi, where they send a messenger to the brother, our father said, please forgive us. He never said that, either because he never knew or because he never suspected Yosef of bearing a grudge. The brothers, when they saw change in Yosef's behavior after their father died, they interpreted it as, and the reason was Yosef, when they would have a family dinner, so Yaakov would sit at the head of the table. After Yaakov died, Yosef said, I'm the head of the family. I'm the king of Egypt. I'm the, you know, the viceroy of Egypt. I should sit at the head of the table. But I know that if I do that, it's going to cause all kinds of family issues. Maybe Reuven should sit at the head of the table because he's the Bihar. Maybe Yehuda should sit at the head of the table because he's the ancestor of the kings. So in order to avoid this, I'm not going to go to family dinners anymore. That's what Yosef did. The brothers interpreted that wrong. The brothers failed to, they had a slight bias, which is that they had once suspected Yosef of not being a family member in good standing, of having improper, you know, aspirations to be the king. Turned out that his aspirations were right, but that bias that was still in their heads of the brothers prevented them from interpreting what they saw correctly. This is, as I said, a constant theme of the altar of Nevardok, of the need for man to recognize how hard it is for him to interpret things correctly. This is likely one reason why Chazal encouraged everybody to have a Rebbe, not just a Rebbe, also friends. Friends can also help you see if you have a bias, if you're not seeing things correctly. A wife is very good at that too. But the most important thing is, so Alter Dvardek's perspective, studying Musar. Regular study of Musar helps a person clear his head and understand that he wasn't really looking at a situation objectively when he thought he was. Yes.
How does that fit in, or is it a separate topic or a Cornish philosophy?
Nowhere in Madrigas HaAdam, which is Alter Dvardek's Sefer, does. I don't recall that he used the word garnished.
All right, well, okay. You know what I'm
but the idea is very simplistically. It's a whole philosophy, and I don't want to oversimplify it. The Alter Nevardek also agrees. His son-in-law, of Avram Yafin, writes about this explicitly. For example, when he talks about Tzalel building the Mishkan, Rav Yafin writes about the greatness of man, how this young boy, Bezalel, was able to perceive all kinds of Kabbalistic mysteries necessary to build the Mishkan. Alter Nevardok, I believe, also agrees that man is very great. The question is, how are you going to get farther in life? The Alter of Slobodka held that you will get farther in your spiritual development by focusing on the greatness of man. Alter Sabatka also agrees man has a dark side, but focus on the greatness of man as an inspiration. The Alter Nevardok was not teaching that man is a garnished. Man's nothing. Garnished is Yiddish for nothing. Alter Nevardok was teaching that the way to progress in your spiritual development is to focus on man's dark side. It's essentially an argument between Sur Meira and Aseh Tov. Pasuk Tehillim says, go away from evil and do good. And it's a constant discussion in history, which takes precedence, going away from evil or doing good. So in a sense, the Slobodka philosophy is to focus on the do good, on to see the greatness of man. And the Nevardok philosophy is to focus on the Sur Meira, to go away from evil, to focus on the lowliness of man, the potential or the current lowliness of man versus the potential greatness of man. One of the things, when you talk about the lowliness of man, one of the things is that the recognition that man is full of biases and full of preconceived notions that make him want to do the wrong thing. Even when he thinks, and this is important, none of us think is going out and doing things that are obviously wrong. It's more an issue of doing things that we think are mitzvos that actually are wrong. Like the example I gave of learning during Chazar Sashatz. We think it's a mitzvah. In fact, it's our Yetzirah, that our failure to truly analyze our motivations. And that's what we mean when we talk about the lowliness of man. There isn't any disagreement that people are greater than angels. At least people could be and should be greater than angels, just very far from that. It's just a difference in focus. That's my understanding.